Shelby, who's also retired, are working really hard on a package and would like to get it done, but I'm not sure. We have a short window when we return. But we're going to keep fighting, and I feel like we have grown national attention around this problem, and the problem itself has grown national attention. People now get it. They see it, and they realize, oh, we have to do something about this. So I'm hoping that our colleagues, and it is bipartisan, we've had good bipartisan support from people, that this is something that we can make a difference on and increase. Why Family Haven, and why we want additional resources here for the wraparound services is something that Council Member Begg said. We're looking for a model. We're looking for a model. When I met Jerrica and her husband, when I met Jerrica and her husband, and she told me that they had three kids, but there was no way for them to stay together, and they became homeless. And literally, she and her husband couldn't even live together. I mean, it was just crushing to think about the fact that those kids and that family, even though they wanted to stay together, couldn't stay together. And I saw what Family Haven was proposing here as it relates to bringing people back together from a family perspective and then providing the wraparound services. The fact that getting back to prep and Gonzaga were participating, and the fact that you really were not just providing housing, but you were providing a pathway for people to get on the right tracks in their lives and actually be employed in things that would give them an income and sustain them for the future, I thought, this is it. Now, the cherry on top of it was when Gonzaga prepped and Gonzaga said, and we will help these residents go to school. I was like, wow, this is it. This is a great model. And you said it, Michael, that this is about bringing community. This is about community. So, Councilmember Begg mentioned this Houston situation. So what I see, and so yes, we are helping fund with the federal dollars wraparound services, so those programs that you all mentioned, like healthcare and education and services and counseling and all of those things are on site. But I'm hoping that this turns into a model where Houston is trying to answer this question from a global perspective, but you're answering it from a local perspective. And hopefully we'll learn about what that does in helping us achieve these goals. Hopefully what we'll learn is that this community approach and wraparound services really are giving children, first and foremost, of previously homeless families, a real shot in the education system. Now, that's changing dynamics. That's what you said it. You know, there's nothing better than watching these kids. Or Jerrica saying her 7-year-old really is so excited because she's going to get this opportunity. We've seen that in our education programs across the United States. When you go to a community where people know they don't have the same educational opportunities as other families, and you change that dynamic, parents are all in. They're all in on that because they want their kids to have the same opportunities. So anyway, we're happy that we've been able to get these federal dollars that will help. We hope that this particular project that Catholic Charities is doing does become this model that helps us think about how we do this on a larger scale. And just thank everybody here today and, you know, the participants, and I think, you know, our builders too, because obviously, you know, people always ask me, well, why do you need the tax credit? But Darren can tell you in detail. You know, people can make more money building big houses, you know, building $1 million homes. That's where they make the money. So you gotta have a little bit of incentive in here to assure that people build affordable units.
And Senator, you said before, it's an incredibly efficient program, public-private program.
Yes.
Said that over and over again. Yes. And that's absolutely the case when it's used appropriately.
Yeah, I always say, you know, it used to be when we had economic challenges or downturns, we'd be like, let's build housing. you know, in the 60s and 70s, even in the 80s. Some people might call me overbuilt, but in general, you haven't heard that cheer in a long time. You haven't heard that national cheer, let's build some housing. Now, I'm not saying no housing's been built, but we know that very, very high-end housing is getting built. And so what happens when you don't build the supply is you are just driving up the price for everybody because there's no supply. What is the number that you need to have to have?
10,000 units.
Well, that too. So what percentage of availability do you have to have so that you're not driving up price, not just for these families, but for everybody in the system? I forget what it is.
6 months of supply.
6 months of supply? Is that what it is? It's a, there's a percentage. I've heard this number, but we don't have that because we haven't kept pace with the need. So we got to get people to realize that and that these programs can be successful. They can change lives. They can, and I don't know if anybody's checked lately, but the economy actually needs workers. So let's help get the economy some workers to boot. So anyway, thank you for what you're doing. I guess I would ask Gonzaga if there's anything on the details here on how you spend the money that you want to share.
Yeah, I think